Our message tonight is out of Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18, Christ's identity shown by God's protection in his infancy. Learning about the birth of Israel's Messiah greatly threatened paranoid King Herod the Great. And since we know from Revelation 12, 2 to 14, that Satan sought to destroy Christ at his birth, in part through Herod's efforts to kill him, God worked to protect his son from Herod, doing so in ways that also fulfilled scripture prophecy. This protective work of God adds even more evidence to the identity of Jesus as God's true Messiah and Son. So Matthew 2, 13 to 18 demonstrates this fact, and we view the passage for our insight and edification. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Matthew 2, 13 through 18. "And when they were departed," that's the Magi, "behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the Magi, was exceedingly angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in the vicinity around it, from 2 years of age and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the Magi. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." Okay, when the Magi came to Jerusalem asking for the newborn king of the Hebrews, it troubled both Herod and Jerusalem. Herod's killing some of his own family to retain power exposed his insecurity that news of Hebrew Messiah would heighten, leading to more slaughter of Hebrews. That's what the concern in Jerusalem was at that particular time. Thus, the path of the Magi to Bethlehem was followed by many curious individuals whose excitement or interest had been roused by their coming. A report would have soon reached Herod as to Jesus' dwelling place, and Herod would then want to take action to remove this competitor to his throne. Now the question is, why didn't Herod immediately follow the Magi and kill Jesus at the time? A lot of politics are involved in this. Herod did not want to kill the Bethlehem infants with the Magi being there. The Magi were from Persia, and that was a military rival of Rome. And they had entered Israel, an outskirt of Roman territory, and they would have come with a cavalry escort. So trying to kill Jesus while the Magi who worshipped him were still there would risk conflict between Herod's Roman forces and a Persian cavalry, and that could only upset Caesar. See, one thing about Caesar, he didn't like trouble, and he didn't like a king who would stir trouble up. So if Herod had gone after Jesus right then, because he knew the place where Jesus was, and would have killed him, the Magi would have... they would have gotten into a skirmish big time. And that skirmish would have gotten a hold of the ears of the emperor. And it could have actually gotten into a bit of a war. And the emperor, the Romans by this time knew that wars were expensive. So they didn't want to get into war. So he wanted to wait till the Magi had left. So he wanted the Magi to come back to him. And of course, as the Magi coming back to him and seeing him, then they go. Then he wanted to make sure they were going in the direction that was opposite where Bethlehem was. And then he could move quickly to kill the Lord Jesus. Accordingly, God guided the Magi and Joseph and Mary and Jesus so that God might protect his son and his earthly family from harm while also remarkably fulfilling Bible prophecy. And this is amazing. The Lord wanted the Magi in a dream, warned the Magi in a dream not to return to Herod in Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. We read that last week, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So this is very interesting. God communicated to these Magi. I really believe we're going to see these Magi in eternity. I believe they became believers, and God who would warn them in a dream certainly could communicate truth to them, and they were certainly open to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They knew that he was a king that was somehow very important to the creator of the universe, because last Sunday we had noticed they had noticed the star was moving in the heavens. And in paganism, a star holds for a particular god, but when the star moves amongst other stars like that, that's something that is supernatural. And that indicated the god of the heavens was involved. But he was also guiding them on the earth from one location to another. And in paganism, the gods are gods only of one location, either the god of Jerusalem or the god of Bethlehem. But here is the god who's moving them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. So he's the supernatural god of the earth as well as the supernatural god of the heavens. Now, pagans knew about the supernatural creator of heavens and earth. In fact, when my parents went to Africa, the Africans still had a semblance of that belief, and it goes way back to the time of Noah. But they didn't worship him. They were worshiping spirits, because the spirits caused them a lot of fear. But these magi recognized from the movement of the star and how it stopped over the house where Jesus was that they had run into the Creator. And the Creator was interested in leading them to a king that was important to the Creator. So it's very possible that the Lord led them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his own son. But it's interesting how God led the magi. Well, when the Magi had left Bethlehem, headed to their own country without returning to Herod in Jerusalem, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream to direct him to take Jesus and his mother Mary and flee, or seek safety in flight, the Greek word is fugo, into Egypt, and remain there until he brought Joseph word again. The angel explained that Herod would seek the young child Jesus in order to destroy him, and that would have motivated Joseph to rise right out of sleep and immediately take his family and flee into Egypt. You can see Joseph saying, Mary, the angel who spoke to me before told me to take you as my wife. He's warned me again. Herod's going to try to kill Jesus. We got to go. And she would say, all right, let's go. And she'd be in a hurry to get out of there too. And so they moved and they went at night. So they're under cover of darkness, which is also helping him to get out without being noticed by Herod's spies. Well, Joseph had earlier been formed by God's angel through means of a dream in Matthew 1:20-21. So as he had done in that previous event, he rose from sleep in the night, immediately took his wife Mary and her infant son Jesus and fled safely from Herod into Egypt. Now Joseph and Mary and Jesus stayed in Egypt until Herod's death. And we actually know when Herod's death was. I think it was late March or early April of that following year. So Jesus, we believe, he well may have been born right around December 25th. It was certainly December or early January that time. And Herod the Great died very shortly after that. And their sojourn there fulfilled Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, that God would call his son out of Egypt. Now, Hosea 11, 1 initially spoke of Israel being God's son, whom God had called out of Egypt in the Exodus. But in the cases of Israel and Jesus, the descent into Egypt was to escape danger. Remember, Joseph's brothers and father had gone into Egypt to escape the danger of the loss of life with the famine. And here Jesus was going into Egypt to escape danger from Herod. And the return was important to the nation's providential history. Israel needed to come out of Egypt and go into the promised land. And here Jesus had to come back out because he was the Messiah. And Messiah is often identified with Israel in Bible prophecy. In fact, sometimes the prophecies are very difficult to distinguish whether the prophecy is referring to the Messiah or to Israel. There's a very close connection between them. So apparently that connection was very deep. When God first gave the prophecy of Hosea 11, he was thinking of his actual son, as well as Israel being like a son to him. When Herod then learned that the Magi had tricked him by leaving Israel without returning to him, he was very angry. And he ordered all the Hebrew boys aged 2 years and under in Bethlehem and its vicinity to be slain. Now some have thought that this was 2 years then after the Lord Jesus had been born. But you have to understand, Herod at this particular time is having doubts about trusting the words of the Magi because they've tricked him. And the Magi were also known as kingmakers. They would set kings up in other nations that they wanted. So he had a tendency to doubt them. So Jesus was a lot younger, we believe, than 2 years. But Herod thought, well, if I get all the baby boys ages 2 and under, I'm for sure going to get the Messiah. So that's what he did. And he's a paranoid king. He's worried about his own throne, so he certainly wants to kill the Messiah. So even though Jesus was far younger than 2, paranoid Herod, King Herod, thought that by killing the boys ages 2 and under, he would be sure to eliminate the Hebrew Messiah. What to Herod was the terrifying competitor to his throne. Now Herod's slaughter of the infants in Bethlehem and its vicinity fulfilled Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15, which depicts the wailing at the time of Israel's exile. Remember, Israel had gone into exile from the Babylonian captivity. Well, that calamity and Herod's new atrocity are viewed as part of the same broad picture of Israel's suffering under divine judgment. This incidentally follows the same principle that we mentioned this morning in our sermon, and actually in the adult Sunday school class when we were asked about the war that is going on right now in the Gaza Strip war in Israel. That's a continuation of a prophecy that was made in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, where until the end, that's until the end time, there's actually going to be war and desolation. That's going to be very typical of the history of Israel. And the reason for that is God is punishing Israel because they rejected his Messiah and put his Messiah on a cross. And that's absolutely inexcusable. So that suffering is going to continue. It's going to escalate and come to a huge climax under the Antichrist in the 70th week of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And that's necessary for Israel to come back and repent, to believe in the Lord. But it's the same thing. It's an extensive plan. And Israel at this particular time was still sinning. You look at the book of Malachi. In that time, even though they'd come back from the land, there were a whole bunch of sins. And we're going through the book of Malachi in prayer meeting right now. And it's interesting how the prophet Malachi goes after sin after sin after sin that Israel is still committing. And they've come back from the Babylonian captivity. And of course, when the Lord Jesus came on the scene, there was a lot of sin. John the Baptizer preached about the sins of the people. So this is something that is continuing to go. So the lesson is, though Satan was motivating Herod the Great to try to kill the infant Messiah Jesus, God worked to protect his son's physical life and simultaneously sovereignly to fulfill Bible prophecy regarding his relocation and calling out of Egypt and the grief of Herod's slaughter of Bethlehem's infants. So may we rejoice in God's sovereign protection of his son and trust that Jesus is his son and the Messiah. Herod was after Jesus, and Herod was brutal and murdering those baby Hebrew boys. And it's amazing how the Jewish people have suffered over the centuries. But we can rejoice that God indicated through fulfilling prophecy that Jesus is his son, and he is the Messiah. I was just thinking about this. This has been a theme, going back to the Sunday school class this morning, where there are difficulties, there are trials that people face, but they definitely fulfill the plan and the will of God. We may not understand what the trials are. Sometimes we face trials that are very painful, as obviously this occurred at that particular time. And I would have to say that it wasn't comfortable for Joseph to have this dream that he had to get up and get into Egypt so that Herod would avoid killing their baby Messiah. It wasn't comfortable for Mary. You can imagine, they were running, there was tremendous anxiety as they had to get out. And Herod probably would kill them too, who knows. So, but even though it wasn't fun, it wasn't easy, it was a trial. Nevertheless, it was fulfilling the perfect plan of God. So if we're facing trials that are challenging, maybe even painful, we have to remember God's bigger than that. And he's got a purpose in it. We may not understand the purpose now, but he's got a purpose in it. And what we need to do is just yield to the will of God. Don't try to figure out the trial right away, but deal with it as best as we can and leave it in the hands of God, because he knows what he's doing. And later on, he can show us the mercy that he's showing. My wife, as you know, is at home. And she's suffering from vein insufficiency and whatnot. She actually wanted to come tonight. She was thinking about coming, and she tried some experiments, and she said, no, not quite right. She would have to sit. She'd have to wear pants to come and put her foot up, you know, on the seat. But she misses being, obviously, but she couldn't come. But it was interesting. We were having a good discussion this afternoon, and she was very encouraging. She has a gift of helps, and she was helping me big time, applying some of the messages that I've been having. And so it's amazing how through a time like this, even in our family life, marriage life, it's interesting how God is at work. So, you know, you need to be encouraged. God knows what he's doing, even though it may not be fun and games for us. He knows what he's doing, and he's got a perfect plan. So we need to go with it and trust him.